Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So the elections didn't go well for the Democrats. There are those who think, like me, who think that the Democrats allowed the Republicans to grab the narrative, keep it, keep on propaganda 101, say the same thing over and over again. You know, you would think that Obamacare was a curse rather than this program that had been so good for the American people or for many of them who had never had access to health care. And then there have been those who have severely criticized the Democrats for being wimps about the whole thing.
Well, you know, I agree with your assessment. I think that when you walk away from success, it leaves you scratching your head. I do not know why we would have been afraid to share the message that happens to also be one that's united with that of the president. And it's not just the Affordable Care Act, which took decades to have happen. I mean, they've been trying to do this since the days of Teddy Roosevelt to be able to make certain that we had a more stable system, which is good, by the way, for all taxpayers, because the use of emergency rooms prior to the Affordable Care Act as the primary care outlet for many of the poor and underinsured and uninsured was not a sound system. So it was a waste of taxpayer dollars. We didn't get the best bang for the buck, so to speak. But it's beyond that. I think, you know, when this president took office, we should have reminded everyone that he inherited a recession that was very profound, one of the worst economic times since the Great Depression. And in March 2009, 3 months into this president's term, we hit the low point in the recession. We're losing 800,000 to 900,000 jobs per month. And then from there, it's been a steady climb north. More adding of jobs since that month, March 2009, to the present data that was released just the other day for the month of November of 2014. And over the last year, the president's policies have, and those that we have supported from Congress, have initiated a comeback of 2.6 million in 1 year, the best track record in the last 15 years. So that's a powerful statement. You know, is everyone feeling the recovery? No, I think we need a lot more work to be done to empower the middle class. But think of what we could have done if we had embraced some of the other policies, like building the infrastructure issue back and putting millions of people in the trades area to work. So the president's policies brought about a recovery. It ended the bleeding of the recession, produced a recovery, enabled us to get back on track, so to speak. But there's much more work that needs to be done. But we should have embraced these celebratory issues.
But Paul, if I can interrupt you for a moment, there's a sort of innate, I think this is the elephant in the room that nobody wants to touch. There's an innate conservatism among some elements of our middle class in this country, which say, don't give them, meaning people who are below them economically, anything. And I think that's the key to what happened in these congressional elections.
Right, and I think we need to remind ourselves that, you know, the correlation of those who may be on some sort of public assistance is directly associated with unemployment and hard times. And so as we've recovered, yes, there was this higher number of people that were, you know, impacted by the economy through no fault of their own. They may have been drawing unemployment or having to have certain assistance networks come their way. But if we're looking for blame, and I don't think we need to do that, we can look at the injustice of not paying your fair share. And, you know, the middle class has absorbed the payment of government, and there are those who would suggest, and I'm amongst them, that we need to make that income tax curve much more progressive so that we're all pulling accordingly.
You know, well, that sure ain't going to happen, Paul Tonko, in this Congress with the Republicans controlling both houses of Congress.
You know, we can pretend that some of these programs aren't essential, and for the middle class, these efforts for higher education, for example, for assistance that we can provide, for the school aid numbers that we need. The federal partnership on school aid is important. Public safety, My gosh, there's a number of things that can drive economics and drive employment. And I think it's important to understand that our mantra ought to be cut where you can so that you invest where you must. But if we're just about this cutting frenzy and just going about reducing the size of government because that's my campaign motto, well, beware, buyer beware of what we're cutting. With sequestration that came with the Budget Control Act of 2011, I voted against that measure simply because of the concept of sequestration and this pell-mell cutting across the board by 8% or 13%, whichever we choose, is not the sort of thoughtfulness that we require right now. You need to have those orders of investment that will grow the economy. And this approach that government's the enemy, government's the problem, I think the people have said through many of the past elections, recent past elections, we want smart government. We want effective and efficient government. But no government? I just don't think that's the answer.
So we have both houses of the Congress going into Republican hands now. There's some talk that keeps creeping through in the press and other places that there may be an attempt to impeach Obama.
The political theater is going to be costly and it's going nowhere. What grounds for impeachment?
Well, executive powers would be one.
You know, President Bush, the first President Bush administration, Herb Walker Bush, President Clinton, President Reagan, they all utilized the executive order far more times than President Obama. And, you know, you think of President Truman and the efforts he made to desegregate the troops through executive order. The Emancipation Proclamation, you know, President Lincoln reaching to bring about justice. Some of our greatest
suspending habeas corpus, for example, in the Civil War, ex parte Milligan.
But some of our greatest moments in history have come via executive order. And, you know, the president has said, look, this is a solution for the moment. But please give me a bill. Go forward and give us a bill. You know, for us to bemoan the fact that he reached an executive order while we've dragged our feet, the bipartisan measure on immigration came from the United States Senate in June of 2013.
And that included their Republicans.
Exactly. And we have done nothing since then. And we've pushed. I have joined with colleagues writing to the speaker to ask that the measure come to the floor. I have...
Because if it comes to the floor, it passes.
Exactly. I think that's why it's not brought to the floor, because there's this fear that it will pass. Now, if that isn't warped logic, you know, holding back America, everyone understands that the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, the CBO scored the bill. In other words, they measured how much the cost or savings would be. It would reduce our deficit by nearly $1 trillion. Nearly $900 billion worth of deficit reduction. And the party that has been very vociferous about the deficit and reducing the deficit at the same time is the party holding back a golden opportunity here to bring about justice, bring about a sound pathway, a legitimate pathway to citizenship, securing our borders, and reducing our deficit. So they're saying no to a message they've harped upon forever. It doesn't make sense.
Paul Tonka, always wonderful to have you with us. And again, I always want to thank you for coming into the studio and having the courage to look me in the eye when you're talking.
Well, that's not an easy task, but I enjoy coming in.
You're wonderful. Thank you, Paul.